A different signature tune to this month's programme, and for very good reason. In fact, three reasons. Stay tuned to Organ First Radio to find out. June the 20th is a very special day for three of our own top drawer organists because they were all born on that same day, though I hasten to add, not the same year. So it's happy birthday wishes to Jean Martin, Howard Beaumont and the doyen of them all, the newly retired clown prince of the organ world, John Mann. John and I go back quite a number of years, and so, as he becomes an octogenarian like me, I'm going to devote most of today's birthday show to him. Telephone interviews are not the best for quality, and so I asked him to sit down and record some of his show business memories. I have to warn you that the resultant quality has to be put down to the microphone that he used, which sounds as though it was donated to the local charity shop by John Logie Baird. But that aside, as Julie Andrews was heard to say, let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start.
My chosen career, well, that was really, I was in those days only looking towards being a producer, an impresario. I just loved show business and needed to try and do everything I could in it. I was having piano lessons, of course. I started piano lessons when I was about seven. And then I was going to the Brighton and Hove Drama School, where I learnt stagecraft, elocution lessons. Doesn't sound like it, does it? But it's true. And then I was dancing as well, tap dancing and ballet. I went for an audition at Sadler's Wells under Beryl Gray, who said at the time that although I was okay to join the second company, I had a back weakness and it was probably best that I found alternative. Now that sounds like a Billy Elliot story, doesn't it? But that was the truth. Anyway, I had to give up the ballet through a groin injury, not mine. That's a joke, by the way. Anyway, I concentrated then on playing the piano.
Thank you.
I was playing for a little dancing school locally and taking part in lots of charity things that used to go on in those days on the piano. I was always in demand. I was also an ice skater. And of course, in the skating rink, there was an organ playing, a Hammond organ. And I loved that. But the swap from piano to organ came through Douglas Reeve, really, because Douglas was a neighbour. And when an aunt and uncle came down to visit us, they used to go to the Dome and come home and enthuse over the organ that they'd heard. And of course, I joined them. And then I was hooked. My parents were always avid devotees of the theatre organ, and they, of course, were of the same opinion with Douglas. And, of course, it was Douglas Reeve who introduced me to my new piano teacher, Len Darling, who also was a church organist in the town. Now, through the organ lessons, which I was having at St. Nicholas's Church, the Mother Church in Brighton, when my music master had gone, and out would come my selection of Gracie Fields hits, and I would try to develop them on the church organ, which must have sounded awful at the time. There we are. Nobody else heard, and I was in the building on my own. But the actual swap to the Hammond organ was due to one of my uncles, who was a skater as well, and he was in the ice rink in Brighton. And the manager said, "Oh, we've lost our organist." And my uncle said, "Don't worry, my nephew will take over." But of course, he didn't know that I'd never played a Hammond organ before. But anyway, I went for an audition at the sports stadium in Brighton and played away. Goodness knows what it must have sounded like, but I did. And when I'd finished, the place was empty. Story of my life, that. Anyway, place was empty, and I didn't know what to do. So I went home, and parents said, "You know, how did you get on?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. The manager wasn't there, so nobody to ask. So what are you going to do now?" So I said, "Well, I'll go down in the morning for the audition for the ice show, the ice pantomime." I was no John Curry or Robin Cousins, I can assure you. When I'd finished, I went over to the side of the barrier, and there standing was Tom Arnold, the great impresario of the day. He was like the Andrew Lloyd Webber of now, and the manager of the rink. And Mr. Benny Lee, the manager, said to me, "Weren't you the lad that played the organ?" So I said, "Yes." So he said, "Well, what are you doing on the ice?" He said, "I want you to play the organ, come off the ice. So that's how I started to play the Hammond organ. It wasn't through an advert, it was all by word of mouth. Much later on in my career, I did answer an advert that was in the stage and television newspaper at the time for a personality organist. And I thought, well, there's nothing more personality than me. So I auditioned at Boosey and Hawke's showroom in London with the agent there, and he asked me lots of things to play and found that I could do all he wanted and tell a few gags. And he said, right, you're on. And that's how I started my summer seasons. But while I was at the ice rink in Brighton, I was also introduced to the manager of the Odeon Cinema in Hove, which had a 2-6 Wurlitzer. And he said, would you like to come and play for Saturday morning pictures? So that's what I did. And then I'd go up there to play perhaps for a special presentation or fill in spots. I was very grateful for that because it gave me great introduction to the theatre organ. On the Hammond organ, I used to love to hear Lenny D. I thought he was terrific. He had a real style which was so like a banjo. He could really get rhythm out of that Hammond organ. Thank you. And then, of course, Robin Richmond. I used to love old Robin's jog-along, sing-along things he did. Gerry Allen, although Gerry was the Lowry performer, Gerry was and became a good friend of mine. I used to love his style as well. Thank you. when I finished the ice rink playing in Brighton on the Hammond organ, I was lucky to get a contract from ABC Cinemas. And my first cinema was the Olympia Cardiff, because I was playing for the introduction music to a film called The Nun's Story. Their manager was very go-ahead, and he got in a choir boy each evening to sing Ave Maria, which I accompanied.
Schubert's lovely Ave Maria, played there by John Mann, but of course not on a theatre pipe organ, but on his very own eminent 2000 grand electronic theatre organ. I wanted to know if John could recall his first ever theatre organ broadcast.
Do I remember the first broadcast? I sure do. It was at the Granada Tooting in London. I was lucky enough to have the last of the half-hour broadcasts because after that, of course, the Organist Entertain started. I was very nervous, of course, but I was well rehearsed. And on the morning, I arrived at the cinema, and there were the microphones sticking up in the air and the OB van outside. And I met Charles Clarks Maxwell, who was very kind. He'd given me the third degree on, was I in the Musicians' Union? It was all quite complicated in those days, unlike today. Then the recording started, and I was doing well. I did my own announcements. And then about halfway through, about 15 minutes through, there was a voice over the orchestra rail, "John, can you stop?" And I thought, oh dear, what have I got to do? Because I knew that I wasn't supposed to make any mistakes. And I, as far as I knew, I hadn't done. And Charles said, "No, come on, we're going to the pub for a drink." And I thought, oh goodness me, that's going to set me back a bit, because I, you know, wasn't into going to pubs and having breaks like that. But that was the rule. So for the first 15 minutes was in the can. 2 hours later, we were back in the cinema recording the second half. And when the broadcast actually went out, it was cut off at the beginning because there'd been a crash on the motorway and a lorry turned over. So I had to listen to all that before I actually came in with my part of the programme. Yes, how we missed those days of broadcast. My favourites were, I used to love, of course, Douglas Reeve. That was my all-time favourite. But I also enjoyed Dudley Savage with his programmes. And I met Dudley once and he said to me, "Oh, I love it when I hear you playing on the radio. You have such a lovely way." And I thought that was brilliant. And of course, Robin Richmond, he was a great chap. And I used to get on well with Robin. He used to say to me, he said to me sometime, he said, "I don't know how you play all these tunes. I can't play like you," which I thought was also a great tribute. And then Bill Davis, William Davis, he was very complimentary to me, and I worked with him several times. But my helper in the early days was a chap called Peter Kilby. He didn't live for very long, unfortunately. Poor Peter passed away at an early age, but he was a great help to me. And of course, Peter used to broadcast a lot. He was a beautiful player.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that signature tune means that Peter Kilby is at the BBC Theatre Organ with a varied selection for us, beginning with the March Curtains and Lights. Thank you.
The March curtains and lights, which I vividly remember as being one of a series of compositions that Joseph Seal recorded for playout music at the end of film performances at ABC cinemas in the good old days. My thanks, of course, to Wayne Ivany of the Theatre Organ Club for finding that, especially for this birthday tribute to John Mann, who I then asked to relate the background to his long-standing association with the eminent range of organs.
In 1980-something, a chance came through a friend of ours, David Hamilton, who was a big con... That's the name of the organ. Not he was a big con man, but the con organ took off electronically, and he was the chief demonstrator. But he had, unfortunately, to give up through illness. They were bringing a new instrument into the country, an eminent organ, and so I was introduced to Mr. John Robertson, who was the MD for the company, which was a Dutch company. So I went up to the showroom to meet him, and I liked the tone of the eminent organ, and it could produce some sounds which I particularly thought were very theatrical and suited my purpose tremendously. I was voted top demonstrator in the Home Organ magazine, which I thought was a bit of a farce, really, because I used to treat it as doing an act. Used to get a bit of a grudge playing to all these people filling town halls and things, and they were all getting a freebie as far as I was concerned, because I had to turn it into a comedy act. But I was in it for the business, wasn't I? So I had to behave myself. But I did like the large model, which I've continued to play up to the year 2018, when I finished. But I still have one at home here, which I can practice on. And of course, being able to travel it around, I had three trailers altogether. One gave up the ghost, and then I had another one built for me. I turned that one over in the road when I went to sleep at the wheel. And the last one, which I've still got now, and it's due to be sold. Anybody want a trailer? And I played it, and it's been around the world, I should think, two or three times the number of journeys it's made. Thank you. I think we've had the best of the theatre organ and the electronic organ world come to that. I think the electronic organ world got too technical, and the general public, well, I know what it was like for myself, because when you were playing the organ with all these things going on behind your playing, the audience used to say, oh, we prefer the piano because we know you're playing the piano. And I think a lot to do was it with that, and the fact that you could hear CDs today that you might as well stick on the orchestra, because they're so good. It's a wonderful achievement, but I'm not sure that it works for the public. That's the trouble. With the theatre organ, of course, you're reliant on the instrument being in the hall or venue, wherever it is. There's nothing you can do. It's immovable. But I also think that a lot of the fun has gone out of it. I think that's the reason.
Over many years, John Mann has been one of the very few organists to have sustained and had the support of a fan club run at various times by Jill Evans, show business sisters Kath and Molly Wisby, Pat McCree, and of course, not forgetting John's own dear and sadly missed brother, Robbie, who was always on hand in any number of ways, both in front of the audience and behind the scenes. To each and every one of them, he pays fulsome tribute, and especially to the current club secretary, Sarah Bryant, herself quite an accomplished organist and entertainer, and someone that John has known for a great many years. I'm reliably informed that he's in the final stages of writing a book which will cover all the years that he spent as that unique brand of personality known as an all-round show business entertainer. As we heard earlier, John gives credit to Douglas Reeve, the former borough organist for Brighton, for igniting that spark of interest that led to the love of the theatre organ. And a few years ago, he fulfilled a dream to actually record the Dome organ himself.
Thank you.
Alan, thank you very much for this invitation to share some time with you. I do appreciate it very much. Hope we can have several more years of friendship together. Thanks for the pleasure. Bye for now.
Now, I have to thank John for telling me that both Howard Beaumont and Jean Martin are also celebrating their respective birthdays on June the 20th, but there simply wasn't time to fix up interviews with them also, which is a pity because I have the early Morecambe Organ Festival days to thank for the chance to work with both of them on many occasions. So, first of all, let's have a listen to Jean Martin at the Compton Organ in Fenton Hall, Hampton in Arden in Warwickshire, with the lively Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B. Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B, played there by Jean Martin. And from pipes to electronics, although this track, Pure Imagination, from her CD of the same name, doesn't indicate which instrument is featured. I'll hazard a guess it's a Yamaha. It's very enjoyable all the same, and of course it comes from the 1971 film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. And Jean milks it for all it's worth. Thank you. Your Imagination, played there by Gene Martin. Now, although I've had the pleasure of including Howard Beaumont in the last two editions of Organ First Radio, there's no reason to exclude our second birthday boy, who we're about to hear in the company of John Taylor, who, together with his wife Jean and sons Richard and Christopher, ran the successful Birmingham-based Grosvenor Recording Studio for many years. Howard, with John on piano and Christopher on drums, made a number of recordings together, but as far as I know, the only one which features Howard on pipes is titled The Melody Lingers On, which features the Christie organ in Ossett Town Hall. Thank you. choose Samantha, Easy to Love, and I've Got You Under My Skin, played there by Howard Beaumont at Ossett Town Hall, with John Taylor on piano and Christopher on drums. When it comes to commercially recording electronic organs, there can't be many that Howard has not done in his organ world days. But to take us out of the show, this is the Yamaha EL90 with an exciting closer to this month's show. The Vidor Toccata in D minor coupled with Things We Said Today.
Thank you.
Granddaughter Carter in D minor and Things We Said Today, played by Howard Beaumont. And there we are, one birthday girl musically seated between two birthday boys, all of whom add up to the total age of, perhaps we won't go there. I'm sure everyone would like to join me in wishing them all the happiness in the world for this June the 20th, and many more to come. From yours truly, Alan Ashton. Bye for now.
Birthday time, birthday time. It only comes once a year. Oh, birthday time, birthday time. May your whole day be filled with good cheer.
You've been listening to Organ First Radio, a Penelador production presented by Alan Ashton, with technical direction by Ian King.